Last Sunday, after the service, I was talking with Fred in the kitchen, and we were having a deep theological discussion. He looked at me and said, "How are you?" And I kind of nodded, and I looked at him and said, "How are you?" Kind of nodded, and he said one word, weary. And that word just captured what I feel I've been struggling with and combating for a while now. And the Lord just opened up such a blessing and a truth, just a light that enlightened me concerning this and how he wants to move with us about this. Weariness is something that the body of Christ does battle. What does it mean to be weary? Well, it's the opposite of Jeff. So you look at how Jeff is, the opposite would be weariness. We can be weary by things we go through physically, emotionally, mentally, working too much, you know, focused on the wrong direction. I better stop. If I try to discuss all the ways we can be weary, you that came that weren't weary will become weary by my many words. So there's only one thing I want to look at this morning. This is what the Lord has put in my heart. It's what Jesus put his finger on in Matthew 11. There's a certain type of weariness that God wants to break for his people. In Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30, you don't even have to turn there. You know this one. "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy burdened by religious rules that provide no peace, and I will give you rest." Jesus said, "Come to me, you that are weary and heavy burdened." It's our burdens that make us weary. And the burdens that he was addressing at that time was the burden of religion. Because if you read the chapter 11, the scriptures previous to that, he's battling with people, their unbelief, their stubbornness. So Jesus is addressing the religious spirit when he talks about weariness and the heavy burdens. Three words, "come to me." This week I've been thinking about that. Three simple words, and I don't think I grasp them yet. Amen. What does it mean to come to the Lord? Well, if we're coming to the Lord, it means we're moving from where we're at to another place. It requires movement, turning, repentance. If we're in a state of pride, it means humbling ourselves. State of unbelief means trusting him. Amen. State of fear, we turn to love. But there's a movement toward him. Why would that be difficult? To be in the presence of Jesus is to be exposed. That's why there's a reluctance sometimes. Remember in John 5, he was talking about to the religious leaders. He said, "You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have life. But those very scriptures testify of me, and you will not come to me." The Pharisees hid behind the word, the scriptures, because they didn't want their inner world exposed. And Jesus said, "These scriptures are all about who I am. You won't come to me." And why wouldn't they come to him? Because they'd be exposed. God wants to bring us to a place where our internal world is opened up to be seen, that we don't feel the need to hide. We don't feel the need to pretend. Amen. We can be who we are. Hallelujah. And that's always going to happen when we're in the presence of the Lord. The light's going to shine inside. We're going to become an open book. Right. Transparent before him and before one another. So what do we need to know if we're going to be transparent? I think there's something in us that cries out for that, because we realize having to pretend and hide is a very heavy burden to carry. That burden of religion, isn't it? Some of the religious burdens we can look at that we can carry that we shouldn't be carrying, thinking about rules, the law. We have rules we feel we have to accomplish for God to be happy with us. God didn't give us those rules. He gave us a Savior who did all the rules, fulfilled the law for us. And now what God gives us is grace to grow in. But rules can be a heavy burden. The enemy can lie to us, and he has, about God's love, that it's conditional. That God loves us, but, you know, he wants us to perform. He wants us to earn favor. Again, what are we doing when we do that? That lie becomes a heavy burden that weighs us down, makes us weary. The burden of working for God. This afflicts ministers especially. We don't work for God. God works through us. So when you feel the need that you're having to do it for God, you're weary because of that burden. So the only way the burdens are released is to come into the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ. And if we're willing to be exposed, he will give us rest. Because that fear of exposure and that hiding is the heaviest burden of all. And there's no better hiding place than religion. We need to know that when the Lord exposes us, that his motivation is for our good. That God is good. You're not going to open your heart if you feel the person exposing you is going to condemn you. So we have to know in our heart that when our life is laid open, it's being laid open by one who loves us and wants to free us. Galatians 5, for freedom's sake, we were set free. The result of the Holy Spirit working in our life and leading our life is not a heavy burden. Whenever the Holy Spirit's in charge, we're free. The burden is easy, the yoke is light. Whoever came to Jesus, we read the examples in the Word, he blessed. He didn't judge people by how much faith they had, how little their faith, were they worthy? I'll give you so much blessing based on how I see you, how good you are. You know, this thing of judging ourselves and trying to see if we're worthy, we think we have to somehow change ourselves to be in his presence. We got the cart before the horse. He says, come as you are. Come as you are. And in his presence, we will change. He's not the one saying you've got to get your life together before you can come into my presence. That's the enemy lying to us. Because if we're trying to improve our life before coming to his presence, we never will come to him. We'll be stuck in that cycle of trying to be better, do better, jump through one more hoop. God's not requiring that. So when people came to Jesus, let's look at a few examples. He would always expose what was in their heart in a loving way. And when they needed healing, he healed them. There was one person that came to him in Matthew 8, and he asked Jesus, he said, if you're willing. How much faith is that? Not a whole lot. He's not sure of God's motivation. If you're willing to make me clean or heal me, Jesus said, I am willing, be clean. The man was healed. So there's a level of faith that's not real, that's not setting the bar too high. But Jesus, again, wherever people were at, he met them. In Mark chapter 6, at the end, you read about the multitudes being healed. Do you remember how they were being healed? They were touching the hem of his coat. They had faith that if they could touch him, they would be well. Again, Jesus met them where they were at. The woman that reached through the crowd to touch the hem of his garment. He noticed the power had gone out to heal her. He simply remarked about it. He was happy to heal her. God's intent is to bless us. We can come to him, even though we're going to be exposed. The result is being blessed and healed. And we all need healing. Here's a good example. John chapter 5, remember that pool in Bethesda? And the angel would come every now and then and stir the waters, and first one in got healed. Jesus walking by the pool, and here it's not someone asking him for something. There's a crippled man sitting there not asking the Lord for anything. The Lord comes up to him and says, do you want to be healed? What was his reply? I can't be. To this man, the only way healing came was through the stirring of the waters by the angel. He goes, every time the waters are stirred, no one helps me in. I miss out on the healing. You see where his heart was at. He had no awareness of Jesus being the Son of God and Jesus coming to heal him. For 38 years, he had been afflicted. He was discouraged. But Jesus comes, and again, there's exposure. Jesus sees this man's heart. And instead of saying, well, you're not believing for healing, so it's not going to happen, Jesus reaches out and says, do you want to be well? He touches and heals him. Wherever we're at, that's how we come to him. On the opposite end of the scale, in Matthew chapter 8, the Roman captain, Jesus remarked, in all of Israel, I've not seen such great faith. You remember what he did? He said, my servant is ill. Jesus said, I'll come to your house and bring healing. He says, you don't have to come to my house. I'm not worthy. I understand how authority works. I have people under me, and I answer to people. I say, go, and they go. Just speak the word, Jesus, and he'll be well. What did this man know? He understood how authority worked. When we are understanding of submitting to the Father, we understand what submission's all about. The realization that comes with that submission to authority is that the word only can be spoken. It's a word of spirit. It'll bring healing. So here was a great level of faith that Jesus even remarked about. But again, wherever we're at, he wants to bring us healing. The Pharisees, Matthew 23, you read about them described as hypocrites. Jesus said, you load people with rules, yet you won't lift a finger to help them. That's what religion does. It wants to load you up, make you busy, give you plenty to do, plenty to worry about. Always the will of God is just out of reach, just a little bit. One more service, you know, one more thing you got to do and you can get there. One more book to read. 5 steps to being spiritual. I mean, all this stuff going on. That's not coming from God. The Holy Spirit is in you. You are spiritual. We just need to practice his presence, coming to the Lord and welcoming the exposure he brings. The religious spirit loads people up with that heavy burden. You start to sink under. That's the weariness. The presence of the Lord is to take that heaviness off. And we read the rest of those 2 verses. It says, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart. You will find rest, renewal for your souls. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. Let me read you something at this state of being exposed before the Lord. I think Psalm 139 captures it. I'm going to read a few some verses from there, if I could. This is being in his presence. See if you can relate to this. Psalm of David. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. This is Psalm 139. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me, and it's a loving hand. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. You have created my inmost being. That's why God wants us to be an open book. God created our inner world. He wants it to shine. He wants it to be open. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Isn't that our cry? Anytime God moves or shifts in your life, we get a little anxious, right? It shakes up our world a little bit. Test me, God. Know my anxious thoughts. God's with us when we're anxious. Come to him, and the anxiety will melt in his presence. Another translation says, I'm an open book to you. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. In his presence, we can open up, and instead of being ashamed of being human, we say, Lord, how am I offending you? How am I offending my brother and sister? Show me, because your spirit will lead me in the right way. One last verse here. This is in Isaiah 40, verse 29. He gives strength to the weary, increases power of the weak. For those who wait for the Lord. I used to always read this as wait on the Lord, like meditation. That's a good thing to do. Wait for the Lord. We're so busy. We're so anxious. We're just raring to go. But in our heart, if we're waiting for the presence of the Lord, that's where we're going to soar like eagles. That's where the weariness is going to break. There's so many burdens God wants to free us from. Just think about it. We talked about the burden of legalism. How about the burden of pleasing people? Feeling you have to live your life to make everybody around you happy. No. The commandment is to love one another. But you're to be led by the Spirit of God, the voice of God, whether people like it or not. And if you're a people pleaser, that's a heavy burden.
Yes.
You can't make everybody happy all the time. But the freedom to be led by the Spirit, that's the easy and light yoke. It says, those who wait for the Lord, that means to expect, look for, hope in him, will renew their strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. When we don't have the weights, the heavy burdens, then we can soar as we were truly created to be, eagles. And Doris said this last week, and I love it. She said, eagles don't flap, they soar. Amen to that. All right. Lord, bless the word to our hearts this morning.